Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Your hosts, Anthony Correo, J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford and Associates, fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area to bring information you may not find on those other financial radio shows. We're aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here, and we are recording extra early this week. We are recording on Tuesday the 15th. But still doing a new show for you.
And I'm sure we will still have some current events, even a little bit new stuff for you. So True Value, let's jump right in. True Value filed Chapter 11, 75-year-old company. So anybody that's telling you the economy is doing wonderful and we're going to have a soft landing, that has yet to be seen. True Value, they're being bought out by a company I'm not familiar with. It's called Do It Best. So I guess they don't have a Do It Best in Arizona, but that's who's buying them out.
Interesting. I've never heard of them either.
Yeah. So must not be an Arizona thing. Boeing, that's still an issue. They're about to fire a bunch of the striking workers. So that's ongoing. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, I looked in on it. What's today? Today's the 15th as we record. Yesterday on the 14th, it was sitting comfortably at 43,000. Dow 43,000. I remember my father in the late 90s. We were doing a presentation for a realtor group. And my father said that the Dow was kind of smoke and mirrors back then. And he said that in his career and his lifetime, he's going to see Dow 50,000. And me included, but everybody kind of made a little bit of fun of him. We're like, that's never going to be a thing. Well, I mean, it looks like we're in that way. The only thing that could thwart Dow hitting 50,000 right now is coming up in about, I don't know, what is it, 3 weeks? The big election. Then we'll see what happens. So speaking of time going quickly, do you realize that the 22nd is a week away? That's when the big BRICS meeting is. So we'll see what happens, but there's a good chance that the Dow could stumble a little bit if that meeting has anything come out. Israel. Why on earth has Israel not done their attack on Iran? I'm lost. I know they're not waiting for permission. I'm not sure what's going on. Are they waiting for the 22nd? You know, I mean, Iran's part of that BRICS meeting, so they could celebrate that time frame. Are they just gathering their people and resources because this is going to be absolutely huge? I mean, I'm not sure what's going on. It's a waiting game. There are so many pitfalls right now to your Dow Jones Industrial Average and NASDAQ and all that stuff. You know what we're hopeful for in our office? We are hopeful that the Dow does another 2008. My fear is it's going to do another 2008 combined with 2000. And then if we're not all throwing rocks at each other, there's going to be the best opportunities in the history of the market. That's what we're hopeful for. Anthony has been helping people sideline money for that opportunity. He's been doing defensive stuff. He's selling nothing but True Value and energy stock, solar, those kind of things. So we are waiting for opportunities still, but I can tell you, if you're not watching your stuff, watch it closely.
Dow Jones hitting 43 is only great if you're taking your returns. Otherwise, you're just riding that wave and hoping for the best.
I love that, riding that wave, because that's all you're doing. These advisors, you know, they've geared up for years now to get ready to tell you again, it's only a paper loss. You know, don't panic. Dow's down 20, 30%. As long as you don't sell, you don't have to worry. It's just on paper. And my question for the last 2.5 years still stands. Then by that logic, is not all of this just a paper gain? If you're not taking profits off the table, you don't have it. It's like the people that buy a gold IRA. Joe, if you're listening, cover your ears. So we're not a fan of gold IRAs. If you don't have it, you don't own it. When the you know what hits the fan, you're going to call your trust department with your gold IRA and say, will you please send me my $250,000? You know, like they're going to answer the phone. not very sure they're going to. So we got so much to get to every week. It gets kind of frustrating because this is an hour's not enough time. So I'm going to do my best to hit a couple of key points and then get into my articles because that's what I live for. So speaking of the Dow and that sort of thing, well, if you take profits, what are you supposed to do with it? We help people as a part of holistic planning. We help you with how to pay down debt. We help you with how to do grandchild, child gifting. We help you with how to buy hard assets, whether it's, you know, a rental property for passive income, gold, silver, guns, ammo, water, alcohol, tobacco, whatever it is. We help you with those ideas. And we help you with traditional financial planning. You know, should you be looking right now at generational wealth transfer via life insurance or fixed annuity? You know, should you do a Roth conversion? We help you with all that stuff. One of the things that we've been very big on the last few years, we love MIGAs, which are multi-year guaranteed annuities. Little compare and contrast. Let's say you have a one-year CD. I don't know what it's paying right now. Maybe it's two. I have no idea. I haven't shopped them in years and years. But you have a CD for 1 year. At the end of 1 year, you have a little window, 30 days, 7 days, whatever the window is. You can take part of it out. You can take all of it out. You can let it roll for another year, whatever you want. A MIGA is an insurance company equivalent. So with a MIGA, one of the main differences, let's say, let's move to a five-year. If you do a five-year CD, you're going to get a 1099 every single January or February. Well, wait a minute. I'm doing a five-year CD. Why isn't it tax deferred? I'm not taking the money out unless there's a catastrophic event or whatnot, which is coming up in 3 weeks if I haven't mentioned that lately. So, you know, you get a 1099 on an insurance product. You do not. So you're getting interest on your compounded growth. So there's a plus for you. Something else. I was, you know how outgoing I am, right, Anthony? I'm a social creature. I was in a bank. This was last week in a bank. There's a teller that I've been getting to know. I seem to get the same one a lot. And I finally decided it's time to bring up the radio show, bring up why I don't like banks. And I don't know, it was probably 10, 12 minutes with this teller. And this teller had no idea that the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation guarantees our money up to $250,000 per account at 1.2%. She had no idea. I'm like, you are a banker. You work in a bank. How did you not know this? She's like, I just never heard it before. I'm like, well, and then I'm talking about the radio show again. And then I start asking about a bail-in and she's never heard of it. I'm like, this is impossible. You are messing with me. Like, I know there's cameras all over the place. Which one is punked? So this woman didn't know about the Federal Deposit Insurance. She knew about the FDIC. She knew as long as I keep under $250,000 per account, I'm safe. She had no idea that there was no money backing it. I'm like, I'm going to show you how to find it. Used to post it, gave her the way to find it. Then we start talking about bail-ins and she is like, yeah, no, that's not a thing. She's like, of course you'll get your money. I'm like, well, right now you can see the balance in my account. And I'm paraphrasing our conversation. This literally was 10, 12 minutes. I'm like, right now you see how much money I have in my bank. Can I have it? Will you leave enough like $100 to keep the account open? Can I have the rest of it? She stared at me like you are right now, Anthony. She glazed over, didn't care what I was saying, boards, you know what list. And she's like, well, no. I'm like, well, what do you mean? No, it's my money, right? It's under 250,000. We have the FDIC coverage. Can I have my money? She said, well, no. She said, I can give you. And I'm like, you do realize right now you're saying I'm being bailed in. If it's my money and it's covered and guaranteed and I want it, give it to me. And believe me, I don't have a lot of money in the bank. I am married with children. So basically, after we got done talking, she was like, yeah, they don't. That's not what they teach us. They teach us a lot of things. That's not part of it. I was like, good. Glad I happened by. I mean, to me, it's amazing. People that work in a bank aren't trained on some of this stuff. And that's shocking to me. But I'm pretty sure they don't want them to know. Remember the big meeting. Remember the FDIC meeting? We played clips from it from November 2 years ago. They don't think the country can handle that information. That there's no money, that they could have a bail-in. And it's really, I mean, we have the proof for you, as Dan Bongino calls it. We have the receipts. All you have to do is look at the 2010 Dodd-Frank regulations. All you have to do is a simple search. Do an internet search on your DuckDuckGo platform. We're taking sponsors, by the way, DDG. So do a simple search and plug in there. Bail in. See if it's ever happened. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it's everything is being hidden from the general population until it's not. It is until it isn't. So from the bank, let's leave the bank for a second. Oh, you know what? I need to finish up. The reason that I want people to know what a MIGA is, our rates are still competitive. We are not salespeople. If we can help you and we have advice or a product to do so, we're honored. We do not help people just to make a commission. So, and by the way, with our 1 year product, it's 1 year. You have a 30-day window. It is 100% guaranteed by the A-rated insurance company. So that's one difference. If you wind up going for 5 years, it's tax deferred, but the rates are changing. And actually they started changing, geez, 6-8 weeks ago. So they're going down. Our 1 year, and I'm careful with how I say this, today on the 15th of October, the 1 year rate is 4.75%. So you need to make sure you look into MIGAs. We're a big fan. There used to be something called CD laddering. I think 15 years of no interest rates made that out of favor. People do bond laddering. We like insurance companies. We think you should look into MIGA laddering. So come see us if you wish. We're at 623-523-0444. But you have to do it today. You got to get in today. You have to have a minimum of $250 million. We only have 7 slots open. You have to be listening to the radio show and take one of the 7 slots. So call within the next half hour. Moving on. Do you want to go into politics for a second or stay in banks?
Anthony? I mean, it's all the same anyways.
It's all the same. There's no difference.
Throw it in there. Yeah,
the way
it's
all, I
present it's all broken. General. It's all gross. I'm all just exhausted. I'm on vacation mode right now. I don't care about any of this stuff.
You're on vacation mode. You look like you're on vacation mode. I usually don't see you hammered this early in the morning. It's kind of nice. It's a nice break in the day. So,
I wish I was. I'd be more exciting. I think I'm more tolerable when I'm drunk.
And I bet I'd be a little bit less hyper and a little more mellow if I was drinking. Yeah, true. There's that. So government, let's talk about a few things about the government. One, weather. And I know, Anthony, I'm ready for you to roll your eyes, put your head back on the microphone like you did last week.
There's the weather outside is frightful.
There's a lot. I didn't even hear you, and I'm just going to move on because I'm sure it wasn't something I need to know. So the weather. There's a lot of things that are coming up about HAARP and geoengineering. And it's so funny because everything I read, there's tons of patents from the government on how to manipulate the weather. And I think of you whenever I read these articles, because I know you're just like, oh, that's not true. So I don't know, Anthony, which is it? Is it global warming / climate change? Is it the government interfering in our weather with vibrations and putting stuff in the clouds? Or is it God? You're going to have to decide. Those are your 3 choices. This is just the nature of things changing, and we're all going to be dead in a couple thousand years by the heat, or it's God or it's the government. So maybe it's all 3. Maybe we're on a crash course of all 3. Speaking of the government.
Oh, was there a point you were going to make to that, or is that you just wanted to make this statement?
No, it's not over. The government, it's not over. The FEMA workers, there's articles now about how militia people are interfering with FEMA workers. FEMA has no money, yet they have money for, you know, Lebanon and Israel.
Well, it's
Israel
a different organization, but.
Yeah, it's all in the same coffers. Are you going to tell me next that your Social Security system is a different organization than the CIA or NOAA, the National, Oceanic Atmospheric people? You do know that if they get money, it's the same kind of purse as your Social Security and the food, the EBT cards and all that. It's all in one big pot right now. And you know what the pot is? The pot is $35.7 trillion in debt. So we're at about it's insane. It's a number that nobody can picture. But anyway, it's not over. I still don't have air conditioning in my home. At least this week, the weather here is supposed to break. We're having climate change the other way finally. But I've been without an air conditioner since the end of September. So to me, I'm very concerned with the weather. There's another hurricane. Potentially, there's two of them. There's one in the Caribbean, Nadine. Nadine's perhaps coming, so we'll see. I just find it odd that there's so much controversy around it. I find it odd that I don't have air conditioning, and I find it odd that the hurricanes are piling on top of each other at the end of hurricane season. But here nor there, let's move on a little bit. So so the Boeing strike. Boeing wanted, what, 30% raise? And the ILA, the Longshore Association, they got 62%. I have a weird idea for you. So we, the people, we brought to you last week that you're going to get a 2.5% COLA. You're going to get a cost of living adjustment for 2.5% next year. So maybe we should all go on strike. And just after that show, I started thinking about that. It's like Boeing, you know, they're picketing. They're going to fire a bunch of them. You know, the longshore strikers, they're going to fire back up in January, I guess it is. They have to get past the election before they resume. So maybe this country should picket, rise up, rebel, revolt, something, you know. So, you know, why don't we stop taking in the shorts as a country? Why don't we all rise up?
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Okay. It occurred to
there
me.
There should be more people striking. There's no reason we should have a government shutdown. Shut down the economy, the Dow Jones triples, and all of these companies are at all-time highs, you know, with revenue, yet nobody's making more money.
Correct. And I know in the past you and I have gone over that whole thing, and I don't know. I mean, I think about Boeing, I think about the cost of living, I think about all these things, and then I think we're in Sun City, and we have people on a true fixed income. We don't buy demographics lists. A lot of advisors do. They're looking, you have to have a certain income, certain amount of assets. We haven't gone that road. We've thought if somebody needs help, they need help, and we're going to help them. Maybe that's hurt us. That's been detrimental to us because neither one of us have a boat. So that's not cool. And with hurricane season, I wish we both had a boat. So my whole thing, you know, I mean, the way that this country's going, it's not fair. And all I have to, whenever I think about money, I think about Ukraine. And I think about how we are literally paying their Social Security. We've told you that over the years on this show. We literally are sending them money so they can pay their people. While our system is so broken, you know, Medicare has 10 more years on it. You know, and we've talked about Social Security. They're not going to fix it by lowering your benefit by 23%. It's going to be a three-prong approach. I'm just telling you, I've been watching this for 20 years, and everything that I've seen that they try not to let us find is they're going to raise the age. We live longer. Of course, they're going to raise the age. Instead of 62 or 67 or 70, they're not going to let you start till you're 70 or 75. It's not going to be enough to save it. Younger workers, you're paying in like 6.25% right now. They're going to have to raise that, and not to like 8.25. They're going to have to raise that to like 12. They're going to have to really raise it. And it's still not going to be enough. It's that underfunded. And then the granddaddy, they're going to lower benefits. And again, we have people on a true fixed income, have a small pension, don't have a pension, live primarily on Social Security. When that happens, the pain's going to be great. But, you know, hang on to your 2.5% raise. So you got that going for you. All right. I guess there's not much more I can say about that. It's just I get frustrated with that whole thing. So I think it's time to raise up. Had an article here from the Daily Hodel on the 12th of October. I'm just going to read the title and move on from this one because there's not a lot to say about it. U.S. government pays $950 billion in interest on the national debt in just 1 year, says the Congressional Budget Office. So, I mean, that's right there at $1 trillion. I mean, that's insane just on the national debt. So our debt is bad. It's getting worse. And I still think the whole thing ends badly.
Isn't it the number two liability for the country? Interest.
Yeah. Yes.
It's insane.
It surpassed our military, which I mean, the world's not safe right now. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, necessarily a war hawk. especially with a son in the military and one that's going to be drafted next year. But I'll tell you what, I mean, yeah, this it's problematic. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you've said forever, why can't they just keep printing money? They can until the music stops. And then
it's funny. It's because we're actually getting closer to what you've been talking about for the last couple, 7 months. The BRICS meeting in October. I mean, it's like 2 days away, and I feel like we haven't really brought it up at all.
Yeah, it's a week out, and we will see from when you're listening to this. Yeah, it's just a few days away, so we'll see what happens. And again, I mean, the thing that we've said since we've been on the air, you know, your take is there's always been something to worry about. We've had a Great Depression. We've been in a civil war. We've had the Black Plague. We've always had something. And my take is you're absolutely correct, just not all of them at once. I mean, we've never had all of the things we've gone through at one time in history. And I feel like we're heading that way. It's when the dominoes fall, I just think they're all going to fall. But let's hope I'm wrong, because I did promise to you, I promised your mom, if we get through the end of January and things are fairly peaceful and we figure out our divisive politics and healthcare and borders and Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, if all that starts smoothing out, we'll go financial. I mean, this show actually, as financial advisors, this show actually does not help us. You know, you would think we're getting a bunch of appointments. We're not getting that many. You know how to get a bunch of appointments? Sell. We need to do the infomercial that you and I promised we would never do. So, but if the world doesn't end soon, we need to start doing more financial planning on the radio. And then we need to start telling people we have so many slots open for them.
Do anything.
I don't know. I mean, can I keep going this way? I mean, every single week I've got stuff to bring people. Isn't there going to eventually be where I'm like, oh, there's really not really that much happened this week? I mean, I don't know. This is insane. So speaking of a lot happening, why don't we continue to week three? Let's do part three in a 3 week series on the Second Amendment issue, if that's okay. You know, the 2 weeks ago, I was telling you how the possible next president, Harris, is basically saying that under her watch, they can come into your house. They can just show up. They can violate your Fourth Amendment, and they can look to see that you're keeping your firearms safe. Well, that's not the true intent of that, if that's going to transpire. But that's so frightening to me, because basically the Constitution is over at that point. And then last week, we showed you, was it Massachusetts, where the governor actually put in like an emergency decree or whatever a king would call it, you know, to ban certain weapons and ammunition and clips and magazines, whatever. So this week, I want to end the three-part series on an upbeat note. I've got some good news for the Second Amendment lovers. This is New York of all places. You would think this would come out of Montana, maybe even Arizona. I don't know. But this is from MSN.com. On the 10th of October, this makes me happy. New York, Allison Esposito, a Republican candidate running for Congress in New York's 18th district, said she does not support a ban on assault weapons and that America does not have a gun problem. Amen, sister. Esposito made the comments during the debate against Democratic U.S. Pat Ryan on PIX 11 Wednesday night. When asked if assault weapons should be banned, Esposito said, no, you do not accomplish any rule or safety by taking guns out of legal, lawful people's hands. We have to punish criminals for their actions. I mean, I've been saying that for years and years. Put people in jail, bring back capital punishment, do whatever you have to do. So Esposito added, we have a heart problem in this country and a mental health problem in this country. We don't have a gun problem in this country. Additionally, Esposito said she does not support a ban on bump stocks and extended magazines. Well, those are just a tool to go along with the tool. It's the people. It's not the guns. So says here, we're targeting a weapon and not the individual. We need to be targeting the individual. Is that like a play on words or a pun? We need to be targeting the individual that perpetrates these crimes and hold them accountable. We do not remove a Second Amendment right from our citizens simply because somebody else committed a crime. And speaking of which, watch closely. Do you remember when Trump, during the debate, talked a little bit about Tren de Aragua, talked a little bit about apartment complexes in Aurora? Mm-hmm. So that's still going. They're just trying to hide it from us. Chicago's having a big problem. Several states are having a big problem. So Sam, good call. Sam said bump stocks sound like an alternative asset class. Yes, we're going to start after things do not fall apart in the fall, not the fall, the change of weather, the fall as in civilization. We're going to start selling bump stocks out of our office. You have to be an accredited investor. You have to have at least $6 million and earn $1.25 million. So why don't we do this? Everything I've got next is super important. Should we go ahead, Anthony, and go into a break and then come back and hit it? Or do you want to talk one more thing about politics? Last thing, promise. I heard once last night, once this morning, that Harris is polling very, very poorly and that they might be working on something to take her out between now and November 5th and put in, any guesses, Sam, Anthony, who do you think they would put in instead of Harris at this late in the game?
Biden.
No, he doesn't know where he is. Is he still alive weekend at Biden's? Biden's probably on the beach somewhere waiting for Nadine to come in and give him ice cream. No, Hillary Clinton. That thing's still out there. Yes. So I can't.
I mean, they've been saying all kinds of things. I can't imagine. I don't think the polling results, who knows what it is, because certain articles say she's polling really well. Some say it's close. Some say she's not at all. So who knows?
It'll be fun. It's going to be interesting if they do anything here. Anyway, with that said, why don't we take a break, come back, and I've got a couple of really important things. Reach out to us, please. 623-523-0444 or email us, team@anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks for being here, and we'll be right back.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. At Rochford & Associates, we know the road to financial freedom is not a straight path, and the journey is different for every family. And in times like these, we want you to feel confident that you're safely on track to meet your retirement goals.
We want to ask you to prepare for economic chaos. We want you to prepare for bank volatility. We want you to insure and protect your assets with a smart plan.
Our team can help you make the most of your hard-earned savings using strategies that are right for you.
I want more people to sit down with us. When we talk about a financial plan, it's different for every person we meet. We tailor make our plans.
Schedule your no obligation consultation today by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford & Associates, veteran owned and proud to serve Americans like you. Wouldn't you love another money show? You would if it were as good as this one. This is Another Money Show with JR and Anthony.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for being with us. We greatly appreciate it. If we can help you, if you have show ideas, if you'd like to sit down with us, please give us a call at 623-523-0444 or email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. So what I said before the break, I have something extremely important, and it's financial. I do have more political stuff if we have time later. I think I lied about not doing any more political, but let's get to TD Bank for a second. So here is an article that I found on the 21st of September. I've been sitting on this one for a while because it really, I mean, in light of everything going on, this wasn't all that important. So it says here, this is the Daily HODL on 9/21, billion dollar bank paying 760,000. Now, what is that? That's $27 million, which is nothing. We speak in billions and trillions. But anyway, they're paying a $27 million fine for allegedly placing customers' access to employment, housing, and credit risk. And I saw this article. What the hell does that mean? I mean, employment and housing and credit risk? So let me read a little bit of this. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or the old CFPB, is accusing TD Bank of repeatedly placing its customers' ability to access employment, housing, and credit at risk. What? I mean, I had an old Scottrade account, and then all of a sudden they changed, and then it was TD Ameritrade. Could I have had a better job than this one if I didn't go from Scottrade to TD? So this makes no sense to me. Anyway, to continue. Oh, and by the way, then my TD account became a Schwab account. So mind you, this TD thing doesn't matter to me anymore because I'm with Schwab, not TD. So according to the U.S. financial regulator, TD Bank systematically shared inaccurate negative information on its customers with consumer reporting agencies for years and consequently jeopardizing their credit worthiness, employment and housing prospects, as well as other human endeavors that require consumer reports. I mean, what a slimy, how do any of these, B of A, Chase, Wells Fargo, TD Ameritrade, USAA, we keep bringing you the shenanigans from these big, huge mega banks. How do they make it? Well, they
it makes it easier for institutional investors to come through and buy more homes.
Oh my gosh, are you a conspiracy theorist or what? Yeah. No, that's a good idea. But, you know, I mean, Klaus Schwab said one day you won't own a house. So maybe that really is going that way. A little bit more for you. The CFPB says TD Bank must now compensate tens of thousands of consumers to the tune of $7.76 million. TD Bank will also pay a penalty of $20 million to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Oh, wait a minute. So they cheated by $27 million. Remember the number I started with? And then they're only going to give $7 million of it to the people they cheated, but they're going to give $20 million to the government. Good night. This is what a racket the government is. We've got the biggest mob, mafia, whatever you want to call it. Okay, I'll be a little bit careful there. So it says here $20 million. So, okay, I guess I'll move on. I'm looking at what I highlighted. I've given you enough. Let's do this. As long as I'm on TD Ameritrade, here's another article for you. This one I would actually recommend you look up and read it for yourself. I believe I highlighted the entire article on this one. So this one is from the 10th of October. It's on MSN.com. TD Bank to pay $3 billion. The last one was only $27 million. $3 billion in historic money laundering settlement with the Justice Department. All right, let's say you're Anthony or JR or the one and only Sam Davis. Let's say you have insurance, financial securities. Let's say you're licensed to work in the financial services industry. What is the most training we have every single year? Different companies bring to us. We have to do it in general for a license. What is the training we do more than any other training?
Anti-money laundering.
The old AML. I just got a notification from one of the companies we represent. By the way, we are fully independent. How can you be a fiduciary if you're a captive agent? We are fully independent. So we get plenty of knowledge on layering and placement and structuring and all these things. Anyway, TD Ameritrade, apparently you do not. So according to MSN.com, TD Bank will pay approximately, maybe it's a little under $3 billion, $3 billion in a historic settlement with the U.S. authorities, who said Thursday that the financial institution's lax practices allowed significant money laundering over multiple years. Canada-based TD pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering, the largest bank in U.S. history to do so, Attorney General Merrick Garland said. Wait a minute, they're out of Canada. Okay, so they're out of Canada, but they're the largest bank in U.S. history to do so, meaning their presence here. So TD Bank created an environment that allowed financial crime to flourish, Garland said. By making its services convenient for criminals, it became one. High-level executives were alerted to serious problems with the bank's anti-money laundering program, but failed to correct them as employees openly joked about how easy it seemed to be for criminals to launder money there. Garland said the bank is the 10th largest in the United States, and its CEO said the company takes full responsibility and has been cooperating with the investigation. Oh, good. It's been taking steps to fix its U.S. anti-money laundering program, including appointing new leadership and adding hundreds of new specialists So, says here, we know what the issues are and we are fixing them. As we move forward, we're ensuring that this never happens again. I'm 100% confident that we will get to the other side and emerge even stronger. Is that true, will you?
So the or it'll happen again.
Well, and what do all these people have in common? Are you sorry about what you did? I am not. Are you sorry that you got caught? I suppose I am. So I need to read a little more. I know you don't like me reading these articles, Anthony, but this one's just too juicy. The Justice Department said the bank allowed at least three different money laundering networks to move a total of $670 million through TD Bank's over a period of several years. This is probably, here's my favorite line in this article, the institution became the bank of choice for multiple criminals and money laundering organizations. So this bank was their go-to. This bank is their, this is their bank of choice. I mean, that's just hilarious. Let's see if there's anything else I can read here that's more, this isn't incredible to me. Let's see here. In one case, a man moved more than $470 million in drug proceeds and other illicit funds through TD Bank branches, bribing employees with more than 57,000 in gift cards. He chose TD Bank because it had the most permissive policies, more than once depositing more than $1 million in cash in a single day and then moving the funds out of the bank with checks or wire transfers. I don't know, Anthony, anything? And sooner or later, enough people are going to... No, they're not. Never mind. I was going to say people are eventually going to say, I don't find it acceptable that you pay Social Security for Ukrainians and not us. I don't find it acceptable when all these companies need big raises just to get through and we get 2.5%. I don't find it acceptable that I barely get returns out of my bank money and these people, these ridiculous animals, are laundering this kind of money. I'm just going to read one more thing and then we'll move on. In a third scheme, a money laundering network had accounts for at least five shell companies that moved more than $100 million in illicit funds, but the bank did not file a required suspicious activity report until law enforcement alerted it. So, very end of this. The bank also agreed to major restructuring of the corporate compliance program in its U.S. operations, as well as 3 years of monitoring and 5 years of probation. So let's tie the two articles together. You might not have bought the house you wanted to buy. You may not have been able to rent an apartment because TD said you were doing something wrong, or you just weren't credit worthy. And now we find out TD itself is possibly doing something wrong and may not even be credit worthy. We good? Should I move on? I'm not in it today. I'm not the usual passionate, because I mean, to me, that is the big story of the week. And it's like, I mean, your reaction to it, you're like, it doesn't matter. You know, that'll
I'm
be gone
numb to all this after a bit.
You're numb to this.
I mean, does any of this surprise you?
I guess because it's just never ending. No, I want it to surprise me. I want people that hear this show to still be like, yeah, that's insane. I mean, and I don't know the answer to it. I mean, should everybody pull their money out of TD? Well, then you're going to have to pull it out of Wells Fargo because your account's fake anyway. You didn't open it up. They opened it up for you.
To be fair, we have said that many a times. Like, of all the banks to keep your money in, Wells probably isn't the one.
Yeah, but neither is Chase. They have felonies. Neither is B of A. Yeah,
don't they? Like six?
B of A. Yeah, something. Six or seven. B of A are closing a lot of branches. I think we're getting closer to this country's CBDC and who's going to run it. You know, we had mentioned Citi. Citi is going to be one. JP Morgan Chase. I highly discover is going to be in the mix. Boy, that was Freudian. I highly think TD Ameritrade is going to be one of the ones to run it. especially after the government's taken $3 billion for them. So that's a pretty big slap on the wrist. And it's so funny that $3 billion is not an eye-raising amount. That's kind of crazy.
At least it was more of a punishment than what they said they gained. They said they laundered, you know, $600 million. Usually they launder $600 million and get punished $3
million. True.
So at least they put a B at the end of it.
But I will bet if I read more of that article, I mean, I literally highlighted every single word of it. Maybe that 600 was just one part. I mean, who knows? But you're right. No, that's true. So moving on, let's go to something else. You know, we'll stay in the banks for one more second. This one, I'm getting to some older articles today because we're recording earlier during the week. So I wanted to use up some of these ones we hadn't got to over the weeks. So this is one from the Daily Hodl from the 20th of September. JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and B of A lose $5 billion in push to offload rotten debt as credit card delinquencies surge. So, you know, while the banks are nailing us to the wall with their shenanigans, we also are struggling too. You know, the soft landing, the healthy economy. You do realize Harris was asked on several different shows. She's finally on the campaign trail. She was on The View, so nobody questioned some of what she was, you know, saying. She was asked what she would do different than Biden. Did you hear this, Anthony? They gave her a chance to say, I would start fracking, I would build the wall, I would do all this stuff. On these recent shows, she said nothing. She literally said that she wouldn't differentiate herself. So I don't know. I mean, I hate to say this to you. The only good news financially in this country, your stock market is soaring. I mean, it is absolutely soaring. $43,000 is just shocking to me. So hopefully it just keeps going that way, because sooner or later, you know, if all this stuff happens at once and you haven't been watching your old 401k or your current 401k, there's going to be nowhere to hide. I mean, these are still good times. You know, I mean, there's not a lot bad going on right now. I mean, except there is every day. Back to this article, Daily Hodl 920. So U.S. banks are increasingly offloading billions of dollars in bad debt that they've officially given up on collecting, according to new numbers from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Those are the people with 1.2% coverage on your money, kids. It's the new quarterly banking profile report. The FDIC says U.S. banks report $21.3 billion in net charge-offs in the second quarter of this year, largely due to credit card delinquency. Boy, oh, and commercial real estate loans. Remember when we warned you about commercial real estate taking a dump at the end of 24 and then through 25? That's not off the table. We just haven't time to bring it up in a while. So that's still coming. Let's see here. The new numbers come as JP Morgan Chase, Wells, and B of A individually disclose billions of dollars. Okay, I guess I've said enough of this. Let's go back to politics. I'm getting bored with the banks. Sam, do we still have plenty of time to get back to politics?
MSN.com. Giving up on being a money show now?
Yeah. I guess I like politics better. I would really like to have a money show, a sports show, because I know very little about sports, but I talk a lot of smack. I would like a money show, a sports show, where all I do is argue with people, and a political show. So here, look up this one. You're going to like this one. This is on MSN.com on the 10th of October. Top executive donated to Biden-Harris campaign after administration cut check to her Chinese-owned EV firm, record show. So electric vehicles, we all know that's the big push in this country. Says here the Biden-Harris administration gave a six-figure subsidy to a China-linked electric vehicle company in late 2022. And roughly a year later, its president showered the Democratic presidential ticket with tens of thousands of dollars in donations, record show. BYD Americas doesn't even sound all that Chinese to me. BYD Americas received $395,000 through the Biden-Harris administration's clean school bus program in October of 2022. Anthony, did you even know that there was a clean bus program. We talk about a lot of wasteful spending, and I was unaware of the new buses a-coming, but apparently there was a clean bus program. So let's see here. According to Environmental Protection Agency, the old EPA documents, Key Lee, the president of BYD Americas, then made four large donations to support President Joe Biden's. I almost said Joe Obama. Man, Freud is having a good time with me today. Re-election campaign on November 14th, 2023. Funds that were transferred to Vice President Kamala Harris in July after the president dropped out of the election. So they gave money to Biden. As soon as Biden dropped out, they released it and gave it to Harris. That's weird. The Biden-Harris administration has long touted its electric vehicle agenda as a way to revitalize American manufacturing. Maybe I should stop there. So I'm going to read that one more time. The Biden-Harris administration has long touted its electric vehicle agenda as a way to revitalize American manufacturing and to counter Chinese economic growth. Much of the government spending to boost the industry, however, has been a financial boon for China as Chinese companies benefit from taxpayer-funded subsidies. We're trying to strengthen America. How are we going to do it? We're going to give all our money to Ukraine and China. And one more thing on this article, and then I'll move on because I've got plenty more of these. So it goes to the state level, too. Here's one for you. Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom. It's a good looking guy there. He'll be president one day. So Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom, for instance, awarded BYD the same a $900 million no bid contract to provide his state with masks during the COVID-19 pandemic. BYD had no history of manufacturing masks or any other personal protection equipment.
You say 900 million?
990 million. So almost a billion for masks, and they don't make masks. Well, they had no history. Maybe all of a sudden they made a ton of masks because of California.
Insane.
This is all so insane. Oh, but then the end of that, Lee donated a total of $50,000 to Newsom's 2018 and 2022 gubernatorial campaigns, according to state campaign contribution records. The BYD Americas president is identified by her company as a Chinese national with other company documents indicating she has a right of abode in the United States. While foreign nationals generally cannot contribute to political campaigns, green card holders may do so, according to the Federal Election Commission. Oh, man, I get so angry. You realize our federal government, Anthony, you probably know this, Sam, you might, most people do not. Our federal government, as we speak, is suing the state of Virginia. Why, you may ask? Because Virginia is purging their voter rolls of people that are not eligible to vote. And Washington, D.C. does not like that. So if you get a chance, just do a quick internet search on U.S. government suing the state of Virginia because they want illegals to vote. Let that sink in. All right, I think I have time to switch to another article that I enjoy so much. This one is from the 12th of October. Harris, the same that we've been talking about, home health care proposal is nothing but a cynical ploy to win votes with false hopes. It says here, oh, and this one, if you want to look it up, and oh, I'm on a field day with MSN.com today. So it says here, in what may be the most damning sign of fundamental cynicism, Kamala Harris last week proposed a new Medicare home health care entitlement to be paid for with fairy dust. Basically, and that is a quote. I just read that. That is from MSN. That is not from Zero Hedge. That is not from the Daily Hodel. MSN, they're attacking their own kids. Hence, Hillary needs to dust off her presidential procedure manual. So notably, she announced it on The View, where she could be sure no one could ask any probing questions. You can't make this stuff up. The benefit would surely be popular as America ages. Ever more of us need help managing at home rather than going into some kind of supported living institution. But the court cost would be huge. As Chris Pope noted in the Post, it could easily reach $500 billion a year. Harris suggested the price tag. Who cares what Harris says? So, you know, Bernie Sanders is still in the White House, right? Bernie Sanders, whose main focus, other than he wanted to be president, main focus is Medicare for all. So this falls under that. Meanwhile, Harris says she'd pay for it with more Medicare drug price controls modeled after those she helped pass in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. That's probably why inflation is heating up again, because the Reflation Reduction Act, the reflation inflection, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe I did drink this morning. So yet those controls backfired. They capped seniors' out-of-pocket drug costs at $2,000 a year under Part D, but insurers still had to make ends meet, so they hiked premiums by 20% the first year after the new rules passed, and we're looking at another 50% increase this year. So this is insane. That's when Team Biden intervened, announcing a demonstration project that just happens to involve roughly $5 billion in subsidies to insurers to keep Part D premiums down for now. Little reality check for you. Medicare is already headed to bankruptcy within a few years. We all know that, right? Medicare is broke. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, we talk about all the time. So let me read the one more thing from this. The last thing this country needs is a new benefit that will bring the crisis far closer. A Democratic Congress in 2021 rejected President Biden's call to spend a mere $15 billion for new home care program. A President Harris has no hope of passing her much larger proposal. What makes this candidate's announcement nothing but a cynical gesture to exploit a genuine problem to win votes by raising hopes with a plan that can't work and has no chance of becoming reality. Harris's politics of joy sure is sleazy. That is from MSN.com. They are finally saying what's going on with her. So my question is this. Is this a ploy just to get votes for November? Or is this part of what they're really going to try to go towards? Is this Bernie Sanders behind the scenes working on Medicare for all? So it's either short-term ridiculous ploy, or it's a long-term, really, really ridiculous ploy to end the financial system in our country. Cool, huh? Do you have anything to say?
Exciting for my future.
Your future is looking bleak. What's the answer for your future? You, Sam, Jay, you guys have to. You have so much to do. I mean, I really. If we don't go all the way into World War III, if we don't have civil unrest after the election, I mean, all the things that are in our face, if we get by them, you know, you still have to fix healthcare, politics, borders. You have to fix all this stuff. And I'm not sure how it goes. I mean, I'm not sure how this ends, but I'm not optimistic. You know, when you're younger and you talk about, I wish I knew what I know now and could go back to high school. Not me. Not me. I don't think individuals in this country make a difference anymore. I don't think our vote counts. I'm super, super negative. And I always tell people, I'm not an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. And I can tell you what, long term, I still try to be optimistic. Short term, meaning the next, like tomorrow, for the next couple of years, I am painfully pessimistic. So I can only hope that things crash a little bit enough to wake up the normies, the people that are sheep, the people that just, they're stuck in normalcy bias. I hope it crashes just enough to wake them up. And then we start coming together as a nation and fixing things. I don't want all of the 10 pillars to come true and you not to have a future. With that happy little ending, with that happy ending, you get what you paid for here at the Another Money Show. Anthony, you want to take us out?
I can probably do that. Anyways, that is it for today's show and all of JR's positivity. If you like what you heard, and have questions about any of the topics today or want to sit down with us to review your personal situation, you can reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. You can use the website to set up appointments. There's a contact button on there somewhere, too, and you can reach out to us from there. Remember, if you do reach out and want to sit with us, there are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments. There's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.